So y'all, 2 weeks ago, my middle daughter, our 8-year-old Cooper, asked Ashley and I pretty late in the evening one night if she could have some alone time with us before bed because she had a question for us. Now, this is a very common stall tactic that's used at our house among all of the kids, but we said yes. And so, you know, it's summer. By the time we're moving towards bed, it's about 10 p.m. and we finally have that alone time with Cooper. And this time she did have a legit question. So we get in there, and her question was, "Mom, Dad, what is my next step with God?" Seriously, that's what she asked us. And she went on to say, "So I stepped over the line of faith and accepted Jesus as my Savior. I was baptized. Then I started serving in preschool ministry at the church. So what's my next step?" Like, she was saying it in such a way that it was like, I've done A, and I've done step B, and I've done step C. So what is step D? So Ashley was avoiding the temptation to tell her that her next step with God was to obey her parents all the time. Well, I was trying to explain to Cooper, well, you know, everybody's next step is something different. You may have been following Jesus for a little time or for a long time. We all have next steps to take, but we all have different next steps. And she wasn't having it. She was not satisfied with our answer. So what she said next was, "Dad, isn't this our church's thing?" Like, she was wanting some clarity, and you know, she's thinking, this is printed on the front of the program. This is our mission, guiding people to take the next step with God. And then truly, this is what she said. She said, "Dad, at the church, we have a counter in the foyer called Next Steps. What would you tell me if I came to the counter and asked, what is my next step with God?" Again, she wanted clarity. It was like she'd done A, B, and C, and she wanted to know what D was. I think Cooper's a lot like all of us, right? We just want some clarity sometimes. Sometimes it feels like our next step may be confusing. Sometimes it feels like a lot of work to pray through and to search the truth of the Bible and to just lean into God for our next steps. But then there's other times when our next step is very, very clear. That whole conversation with Cooper really was an awesome conversation with us. And this morning, what I hope is that we can have a good, clear conversation about some particular next steps for us here at Mid-County. And I want to present to you some very clear, definite next steps that may be exactly what God has for you to take. But more important than those next steps, what I want you to hear me say this morning is the why behind them. Why these next steps matter. So to really get at this, let's look together at 1 Corinthians 12 in the New Testament of the Bible. 1 Corinthians is in the New Testament, and we're going to look at the 12th chapter and the 12th verse. So 1 Corinthians 12, 12. If you don't have a Bible this morning, that's okay. We'll put the words up on the screen. You can follow along as I teach. And if you'd like a free copy of the Bible after the service, go to our Welcome Center. We give them away every weekend, and we'd love to give you a free copy today. So 1 Corinthians 12 is what we would call a book of the Bible, a book and chapter, but it was originally written as a letter, and it was written by a man named Paul, the Apostle Paul, who was a leader and a missionary in the early church. After Jesus went back into heaven to sit where he belongs at God's right hand, he sent out the church, and Paul was one of those. He became a missionary that started churches all across the region. So he wrote these letters back to those churches, and this would have been written to the church in Corinth, hence the name Corinthians. It was to the Corinthian church. And the Corinthian church was a church that needed some correction and some instruction because they were conflicted. Now, Paul's words to us, I hope, are instructional for us today, even though I don't think we're particularly conflicted this morning. So let's look at 1 Corinthians 12, beginning with verse 12. He says, "Just as a body," and he's referring here to a human body, "just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one, but of many parts." Now, if you've ever wondered why the church exists, this is it right here. If you've ever wondered why the church even is in existence, it's so that it can be a local, physical expression of the body of Christ in different communities and places all across the world. And every church is made up of people, right? And as long as you're a part of an organism or an organization that is a human organization, it is going to be an organization that has flaws and imperfections. And so what we know is that the church is not perfect, and this church is not perfect. But in spite of imperfections and flaws, the church is a God-given expression of God's power in the gospel to transform people. So what you have is a bunch of people that come together, transformed by the work of Jesus on the cross, transformed by the presence of the Holy Spirit, and then together we show the world that our God has the power to make changes. So Paul uses a metaphor here. He uses a comparison in 1 Corinthians 12, and he compares the body of Christ, the church, also referred to as the bride of Christ in the New Testament of the Bible. He compares it to a body, like a human body. And in this process of comparison, what he's showing is that the church both has unity and diversity all at the same time. They were to be unified and diversified. Unity in this, looking back to the verses. Unity in that it's one body. Unity in that there's one baptism. Unity in that there's one Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. And unity in that we serve one purpose. But then diversity. The verses talk here about Jews and Greeks. These are two different ethnicities, right? In the first century church that Paul was writing to, the church was made up of Jewish Christians and Greek Christians. And what he's showing here is there is an ethnic diversity among the church, a cultural diversity. But then he goes on to say both slave and free, meaning people that are enslaved, people that were in slavery, and people that were living in freedom. And so what he's showing here is a societal diversity that's going on among the first century church. He goes on to talk about these as well as the many, many different parts that make up a body. And when you think about the many different parts that make up the human body, that shows you that there is a great diversity. So what I want you to see this morning is this, that the church is not a building. It is a body. That's the reason why we can take an old warehouse like this, right? Place that's part research and development warehouse, part offices. This room was literally a place where they did testing. The rooms on the other side were office buildings. We can take a building like this and we can turn it into a place where the church gathers, because the church is not a building. It's a body of people. This has been Brazos Point's history all along. We started in a school, then we met in a retail center. We started Mid-County here at the business park. I want you to also see that the church is not really an organization. It's really better to describe it as an organism, because it's alive, it's breathing, it's active, and it has life. The reality is we were created and we were recreated by God to live in community together, to function in such a way that we need one another. Often the church in the New Testament is referred to as the family of God, the family of the living God. I want you to hear the way that the Apostle Paul, the same writer, says this in a different book of the Bible, in the book of Romans, as he was written to the churches in Rome. Romans 12:5 says, "So in Christ, we, though many, form one body." This sounds exactly like what we've heard him say in 1 Corinthians so far. "So in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." And that's the key word that I want you to see there this morning, is belongs. Write this in your notes. Following Jesus is not just about believing. It is also about belonging. We don't gather together just to have a place where believers can unite. We do that for sure, because it's important for us in our belief to gather, to worship, to gather around the truth of the Bible, to sing the things that we believe. But even more importantly, we gather so that we can belong. We gather to have this sense of belonging, this idea of being family, this idea of being one body. And I don't know about you, but I am so thankful that I get to belong to this body. I get to belong to the church that is Brazos Point Fellowship, this expression of the gospel of Jesus that God has planted in Brazoria County. For me and my family, it is a blessing to belong here. I want you to think about this. Your relationship with Jesus, though it is personal, it is never to be private. It is personal but not private. You're to belong to another group of people where you share life together. This whole passage in 1 Corinthians 12 is really about connection. It's this idea that we are hardwired by God, hardwired in our creation to need one another, to have this sense of belonging. And let's be real this morning. Who doesn't want to belong, right? Who doesn't want to be accepted and to have connection? When you think about it, that is identified as one of the greatest needs of people, a sense of belonging and acceptance. We all want somewhere where we can fit in. And my hope and my prayer this morning is that you have found that kind of connection, that you are finding that kind of acceptance that your heart longs for here at Brazos Point. My hope and my prayer is that as Mid-County is being formed and built, that God is building a diverse group of believers that will together share this mission that he has given us of creating a church for the unchurched where we guide people to take their next steps with God. This recognition that it's not just about us, the believers, but God is planting and establishing us here so that we can take this gospel of hope into our neighborhoods, into our ball fields, into our schools, into the places where we work. We can go on mission with God and scatter as believers, taking the message and the hope of Jesus with us so that we can invite people back here where you know that we will continue to develop worship services where unchurched people can come and they can have questions answered. They can learn about the elements of faith, right? Where people that are both skeptical and people that are seeking God can come and hear simple gospel messages to find out about the truth of our Jesus. That's our mission. Look on with me in verse 15. Verse 15 says, "Now if the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body." Verse 17, "If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be?" Paul is using a lot of different examples from the human body to make and to communicate one truth and one point here. It's that following Jesus is not about independence, it is about interdependence. Write that word interdependence in your notes because that's really what I want us to focus in on this morning. This idea that we depend on one another, that we are built in such a way that we need each other. And the reality is, y'all, we live in a culture that worships independence. We live in a world that celebrates the individual over the community. We live at a time that celebrates self-sufficiency. This idea of pull yourself up by your bootstraps, take care of yourself, make it happen for yourself. And what Paul says here in 1 Corinthians 12 really challenges all of those ideas of our present reality. He talks here about an ear that needs an eye, a hand that needs a foot if it's going to function properly. And what the Bible is teaching us is that as followers of Jesus, we are to function together interdependently. The church is to be an interdependent body of believers. The Bible teaches that is what it takes from followers of Christ. It's this sense of mutuality. And that's not a word we use all the time, but it's a word that I want you to think about, right? Mutuality is this idea of mutual support. Mutuality is the art of giving and receiving. This both and of giving and receiving. And this is to characterize the church of Jesus. I want you to think about it this way. Biblically, a marriage between a man and a woman is also to illustrate this same gospel reality. The Bible talks about Jesus, the groom, and the bride of Christ is his church. And what it says in Christian marriage, this is an illustration of the exact same reality. So think about marriage, okay? Ashley and I are both to give and to receive in our relationship. We are to depend on one another. It would be unhealthy for one of us to selfishly do all of the taking, and for one of us to selflessly do all of the giving, right? If that's the way that our relationship was established, we would all agree that that is an unhealthy way to live. But instead, what we're to do is we're to grow in our marriage to the point that we're able to appreciate our differences. We're to depend on each other, recognizing our own gifts and abilities and strength, and then even compensate for our weaknesses. And you know what? Ashley and I actually serve as a pretty good example of opposites attracting. We are very, very different people. Ashley is orderly and she is disciplined and she thrives in routine. Whereas I am a little bit more quirky, a little more spontaneous, and I thrive with variety. So what I know is that we're better together because if it wasn't for Ashley, our household would be chaos, right? We would not, the children wouldn't know how to read. Like, I recognize that, right? The bills would not get paid if we didn't have Ashley. If we didn't have Ashley, it would be chaos, but it would be a party, right? But if they didn't have me, life would not be quite as fun. Now, I'm not saying Ashley's not fun. Don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm just saying I'm more fun. And the reality is we need each other, that together we're creating and establishing a home where we're building up and developing children that are even asking us what their next step with God is. And in the same way that we recognize our interdependence and the diversity that God has given us is creating strength among us, right? And we're leaning into each other's strengths and gifts and compensating for each other's weaknesses. That's interdependence. That's mutuality where there is give and take, and the church is to function in that exact same way. We come together as a diverse group of people gathering around one purpose. This is what I want you to hear me say this morning. I don't want you to come here to Brad's Point and just consume. I don't want you to come here and just be a consumer and just enjoy the work that God is doing here. But at the same time, I don't want you to come here to Brazos Point and just contribute. That's not the idea either, right? There's to be mutuality. There's to be interdependence. There's to be this give and take from every single person. So don't come here and settle for just partially connecting, right? Don't come here and think that the church is all about getting your needs met or getting your kids' needs met. No, the church needs investors. It needs people that are investing and contributing. But also don't come here and think that the weight of needs meeting lays on your shoulders. Please don't come here and think that you're God's gift to the body of Christ. You also need to be invested in. We don't need you to just invest. We also need you to be open to having other people invest in you. The church is here for your good, and yes, you are here for the church's good. It's the eye and the ear functioning interdependently. It's the hand and the foot working together, all for the common good and to accomplish God's mission. The Apostle Paul wraps this up very nicely for us back in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 18. He says, "But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body." What it says there is that God placed the parts in the body as he wanted them to be. And this is what I want you to see and to believe this morning, that God has connected you to this body for a purpose. God has connected you to this body, to Brazos Point Fellowship Mid-County Campus, for a very specific purpose. It is not an accident that you are here. God is building his church part by part. God is building this local church campus person by person, one purpose for a purpose on purpose. Again, we can see this from the Apostle Paul, this time as he wrote to the Ephesian church in Ephesians 4:16. He's speaking of the purpose of the body of Christ. "From him, Jesus, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament." Again, this sounds exactly like what we heard Paul say in 1 Corinthians and in Romans. "Jesus, for Jesus, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." So this is the purpose of the body of Christ, that we would grow together, that together we would be stretched and challenged and move toward next steps, that we would be built up, but not just built up, but built up in love, that our love for one another would be deep as brothers and sisters in Christ, as we share as family in the body of Christ, and that the community would see our love for one another, and it would be attractive, attracting them to the gospel of Jesus, which is our foundation for love. And then also that together we would do work, that we would do the work of God, that we would do the work of building the kingdom, that we would do the things that God has called us to. That is God's purpose for the church. And that is what God has connected you here to be a part of. And so I want you to ask two questions this morning. When it's working right, you should be able to answer both of these questions. I want to ask you two questions. How is my church helping me? If we're doing this right, the worship services that we plan and execute should be a help to you. That should be an encouragement. It should be a source of challenge as we preach from the truth of the Bible, right? It should teach you. It should instruct you. It should correct you. It should challenge you towards next steps. As we sing our faith and worship, it should encourage you. If we're doing it right, it should be a help in your life as we're guiding to move you towards next steps with God. Is your small group helping you? If we're doing it right, small groups are providing community and connection, providing an outlet for Bible study, and most importantly, small groups are providing care. If we're doing it right, it should be a help in your life. And that can be said of everything that we do, volunteer ministry, personal growth, each and everything that we do, we hope that it is a help as you're being guided personally to take your next steps with God. But then I want you to ask the second question as well. How am I helping my church? This is mutuality. This is interdependence, not just the benefit of you getting help, but also the benefit of you bringing help. How am I serving the purpose that the church is carrying, this God-given mission of guiding people to take their next step with God as we develop a church for the unchurched? How am I helping in that God-given purpose? And what I want to do this morning is I want to go back to where Cooper started. I want to go back to Cooper's burning question, what is my next step with God? Because ultimately, I think we all want some clarity on that. If y'all would, welcome my friend Jaime Moreno. I'm going to have Jaime come and share his story this morning. I could tell you were eager to get up here.
I jumped the shark a little bit, my bad.
You're good. All right, y'all. So I want y'all to hear from Jaime. Jaime's story is a great story of this mutuality, right? What I can tell you is they have been a huge help to this church. His family has, and I know and believe that this church has been a help to him as well. So I want his story to kind of illustrate what I'm talking about this morning. So Jaime, just first off, tell us a little bit about who you are and your family and how you got to BPF.
Cool. My name is Jaime Moreno. I'm born and raised here in the thriving metropolis of Angleton, Texas. Class of 98, where you at? Nope.
Somebody.
Oh, I know. There's one. We actually celebrate our 20. I was not here, but they looked like they had a blast over there. Anyway, married to Rosanna, who is, bless you, been married 17 years. And as Randy would put it, I outkicked my coverage with my wife because she is absolutely gorgeous. Have a 15-year-old boy, JP, who is going to be a sophomore this year and is a member of the Angleton Purple Pride Marching Band. A soon-to-be sixth grader, Joaquin, who is basically a miniature version of me. And then we have the honor of hosting Miriam, who is our exchange daughter this year from Germany. So how we came to BPF. So we've been with BPF for 4.5 years. Christmas will be year 5. We came on an invite of our neighbor, Marianne and John Hill, and it was an instant connection that we had with BPF. It was something different that we hadn't experienced in church ever. I guess you could say we were once churched as a family. Went to Discovering Brazos Point probably within the first month of going to BPF. And then within that time, by February, we were members. So it took about 2 months for us to be members of BPF. Greg was on stage one day and had an ask. We needed more people. It was right when we were developing the third service there at Brazoria Road. So the 8-11 service was happening. And we needed people to serve. And so we just kind of took that calling and we just all decided as a family that we were going to go serve in volunteer ministry.
Yeah, so you guys were kind of on the fast track. And I remember watching this. Y'all moved quickly into volunteer ministry, moved quickly into small groups. You talked a little bit about, you know, the Hills being an entry point into that, but talked a little bit about going immediately into kids ministry. But you guys, 4.5 years later, you've done lots of different things, and yeah. God's taken you through several different next steps. So help us see kind of where that journey has gone.
Yeah, so we started with children's ministry. So I volunteered as a leader for the 2.5, 3-year-olds. My wife did the Wobblers, which is like the 18-month-old kids. JP immediately jumped into kindergarten as a helper there, and then Joaquin served also with my wife. So the four of us kind of jumped in and did that. That same year, we also started an adult small group. So our neighbor, like I said, the Hills, and us kind of led and hosted an adult small group. And we did that also for a while. That actually gave birth to two separate small groups that are still going today. And then after that, after doing children's ministry for a while, like we just kind of felt like maybe there was something else that we wanted to do. And so I started doing student ministry and a student small group. So we led and hosted the first year. And Rosanna immediately jumped into that role as a leader as well for the girls because it was a co-ed group for high school kids. That led to us been doing that for 3 years. We were blessed to have Sam and Joey opened up their house to us to host. Tim helped me out with the boys, and Sam and Rosanna were working with the girls in high school. And even like JP has also moved. He went from children's ministry in kindergarten to now he is a communicator there and does a lot of different things over there at preteen and student ministry over there.
Yeah, and what I love about this is ultimately Jaime and Rosanna have agreed and decided to be the student ministry directors here for the Mid-County campus. We're going through some changes. Yeah.
Thank you. No autographs. Thank you.
So They're going to be the Mid-County Student Ministry Director. Stephen's going to take on kind of some more general assignments, but essentially what that means is they're going to lead leaders as we continue to build a small group ministry for students. And what I love about this is, man, these guys are advocates for the students, not just in our fellowship, but also in this community, along with Sam and others. And so I just know we are going to reach students here at Brazos Point Mid-County.
Yeah, if I haven't talked to you yet and you're a student in high school, look out, I'm coming.
Also, they're looking for a host home for student ministry as well. So,
yep.
So here's the other piece of this, the mutuality, right? The interdependence, not just what you give, which your family is a huge asset to Brazos Point, and you've given so much of yourselves, but also what you get. So through volunteer ministry and through small groups, what's been the personal benefit?
For us, it's been family. Like, I think the thing that we gained from doing this is just larger group of people that we didn't know beforehand, that, you know, we doing this, we kind of gain ownership of the church, and through that we have found lifelong friends and family that we probably would have never met had we not said the first yes. I was telling a story in the first service that we, during Harvey, Becky came to live with us with her five exchange students at that time. There was five in her house. Becky couldn't get into her house because the water was rising where she lived, and we just said, come, and Becky stayed. Y'all stayed for 3 weeks, right? And it wasn't even a question. That's our sister. So, yeah, come bring the kids. We'll enjoy that. You know, I was thinking about this earlier, too. Like, as a parent, one of the things that I really love about being here is that there are people in my life, in our life, that I know our kids can listen to that they won't. You'll figure this out when you get a teenager. When they become teenagers, they don't listen to you. And so having people that can speak very similar or the exact same words that I would say that they're not able to get, especially, like, you know, my son JP. So, like, I have, like, Ryan and Lane are, like, integral parts of that. You know what I mean? Like, Brian Malice back in the main, they were people who took time, invested energy on JP, and they're my brothers because I know that they are doing right by having those conversations when he can't hear me because I'm his father, or he can't hear Rosanna because, yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so having that concept of adding that sort of layer of family in that, that's huge for us, huge.
Well, and it's not just about the development of our kids. It's also about our own development. And that was one of the things that, as we prepped for this, one of the things I loved was how you talked about your own development over the last 4.5 years has brought you to a place where it's even changed what you're doing vocationally.
Right. So before this past year, I was a teacher. I taught in a bunch of different school districts, and being involved in the church and being involved in student ministry led me to the job that I have now with True Life Ministries. This position that I have is called a student success coach. It was not created until last year. It was something that the district BISD came to us about. And Meredith King, who's our founder of True Life, when this position came up, she called me. And it was here's what we're doing. I think you'd be great. And it was an instant yes. And I know that had I not said yes from the initial jump from coming to BPF, had we not become members, had we not volunteered in children's ministry, had we not started doing student ministry and developing that and doing what we do there, like, that would have never led to the phone call to get me to the job that I honestly believe is the greatest job I could ever have, right? I get to work with students every day. That's my calling. And I get to be impactful and mentor them, right? And so it's a direct correlation from us making that first yes to me getting that phone call and doing what I do now.
I love that, because what I know is that you're saying your next steps ultimately led you to what I heard you describe last month at a board meeting in True to Life as you living out what God created you to do. I love that. Y'all give Jaime a hand. So I asked Jaime to share because the last thing that I would want for this message to feel like or to be would to be a commercial for Brazos Point Fellowship. Y'all, we are just one tool in God's tool belt. The last thing that I would want for this to be or to feel like would to be a commercial for small groups or for volunteer ministry, because that's ultimately not what it's about. Those are just tools in God's tool belt to develop us as disciples or followers of Christ. It is not about growing church programs. It is about growing people. That is the why behind it. It's about building connection and family, community, and doing that in such a way that we together guide one another to take our next steps with God. It's about that interdependence, right? That give and that take. It's about loving and being loved, serving and being served. And what I know is that you need the church. You need the church to love you and serve you. But what I also know is the church needs you. The church needs you to love it and to serve it as well. And so small groups and volunteer ministry are pretty much one half of what we do here at Brazos Point. You're familiar with the weekend experience. Even if you're here for just the first time, you're getting familiar with the weekend experience. But I want you to be familiar with small groups and with volunteer ministry, not because I want us to grow those programs, but because I want those things to grow you as people in the same way that they've been a part of the discipleship and development in Jaime's life. So I want to challenge you this morning to pray about it and think, what is my next step with God? Let me pray for you. Father, this morning I pray that as we consider these next steps, that you would guide our thoughts and actions. God, your word tells us that the Bible is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And we pray, God, that as we've looked at the truth of Scripture and what you've created us to be as the body of Christ, that that would be a guide for us. God, I pray as folks consider next steps that they would hear from you clearly. Pray that your Holy Spirit would be working in their hearts and minds and leadership of them. God, I pray that you would give them boldness and courage, that you would give them faith and strength to step out into the things that you call them to. And ultimately, God, I pray for all of us that together as a campus, that we would live out this next step of being a gift and a blessing to this community as we carry the gospel of Christ with us, as we develop here a church for the unchurched. God, we pray that more and more people who are unchurched, who are skeptical, who are seeking faith, we pray that they would come here and find the hope that we have found in Christ. God, I pray that you would guide all of us and that as we take next steps, that it would be for your glory and for our good. In the name of Christ, amen. We want to make these next steps as practical and as easy as possible for you this morning. And so this is how simple it is. You can simply text on your phone Brazos Point to 95577. You text it to that number and you text that code word Brazos Point, no spaces. And it will send you back a prompt to engage with a website that either gives you a chance to connect with small groups or volunteer ministry. And then you choose one or both. It may be that both are your next steps. And what that's going to do is it's going to send information to our staff teams, and then our staff will have the ball in our court to contact you and to help you to connect. And I promise you, there's nothing that we love to do more than helping people to connect into these next steps, because our whole reason for existing is guiding people to take their next steps with God. So take your phones out and use that. It's also printed in your program if you want to take a look at it later on today. But use that texting service, because that gives us a really simple and easy way to connect with you.